And this morning we're going to be in John 21. If you all could stand with me in the reading of God's word, we'll be in John in chapter number 21. And we're just going to be in, we're going to start in verse 1 and make our way down to verse 17. And it says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed him he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw them for the multitudes of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but it was, as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon as then, as they were come to the shore, to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, and 153 were there. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because of he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. You all may be seated. I was studying this passage and I was running. It's always good to know that you're doing what the Lord wants. And that seems like, yeah, you better, you're preaching. I was like, yes, but it can get confirmed this morning in the way of Brother Carlos's teaching. He talked about how the two spies went out from when Joshua crossed over the Jordan, sent two spies in the city of Jericho, and talked about how they went to the city of Jericho and went and got caught, or almost got caught, and went to Rahab's house. And we started talking about Rahab a little bit. And one of the things he brought out is, and Miss Carol mentioned it, is God's able to use anybody, even when they fail or go against what God has said. We have all failed at some point. And we've all failed someone that we care about. Sometimes it's in the small things of either teenagers forgetting to clean your room, or husbands forgetting to take out the trash, or wives forgetting to take the meat out of the freezer for dinner. You end up having to get pizza. Whatever it is, across the board, we all make little failures in life that can be problematic, that make life a little bit harder. There are people around us that failed in little ways, but there's also people that have failed in big ways. We're in an area with a lot of prisons. We'd say those are big mistakes, whether it was murder or theft or selling drugs, embezzlement, arson, assault. These are what we call big failures. And we tend to think, you know, what is there after we fail majorly? And this is kind of where we find Peter a little bit. And before I get too much farther, it doesn't have to be in a monumental thing that would throw your spirituality into a tailspin. I will say, not taking out the garbage is not going to send your spirituality out into a tailspin, probably. But we still, nonetheless, are all people that struggle with the flesh, and all of us need to come to a point, whether it's a little restoration or a lot of restoration, need our fellowship restored with God. We come to this passage We see here through the verses that this will end up being the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he has risen from the grave. Jesus had commanded them, if we would look, I'm just going to read it. You don't have to go over there, but in Matthew 28:7, Jesus had commanded them to go over into Galilee. It says, "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." So we know from that passage that was right after Jesus was risen from the dead. And then, so he told his disciples, go to Galilee. But then Peter does something while in Galilee that sets him away from where God had him, at least I believe. There's some debate whether Peter was in the right or the wrong of going out to go fishing. The Sea of Tiberias there is just simply the Sea of Galilee, just known by a different name. It would happen times in the Bible, they would have a couple of names for different things. But the question of Peter was wrong for going out to fish, well, you have to understand Peter a little bit. The fishing industry was very profitable. It's where most of the coastal cities would make their money. They would get enough fish to feed themselves, but also to sell in surplus that they would be able to trade for flour, wheat, meal, different things like that. But the problem is Jesus didn't tell Peter to go to the Sea of Galilee. He told him to go to the Galilee. He told him to meet him there and that he would meet him there in that city. But Peter decided to go back to what was familiar. And so many times we get on to Peter a lot, and sometimes rightfully so. He's been put his foot in his mouth one time or two. But also too many times we as Christians go back to what is familiar, what God has saved us out of, what God has called us away from, what's easier for us. Because fishing was easier for Peter. He had, up till he met Jesus 3 years ago, he had been a fisherman all his life. His dad was a fisherman. He raised him to be a fisherman. That came to second nature to him. But the problem was Jesus called him out of that. And I don't want to jump too far ahead of myself. But another reason I don't think Peter was in the right here was that he didn't catch anything. There was no blessing there. He threw his net all night, not a single fish. And it's a tiring, exhausting work. There would be weights at the end of the line, and they would have to cast them time and time and time again. But even in this wrong, Jesus wanted to bless him and start to show his power to Peter. Peter, at this point, had been considered a failure in his own eyes and among a lot of his people around him. We'll get to hear it in a minute, but he had made mistakes. He had fallen short of what God had called him to do. But God still wanted to get to a point to restore Peter. And the Bible talks about here that in the morning, when comes in verse 4, it says, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew that it was not, that it was Jesus." It's interesting here. They had spent 3 years with this man. They've already seen him twice after he's risen from the grave, but they still don't know it's Jesus. I don't know if the sun was hitting him right in the eyes, or if they couldn't understand his voice from how far away he was. But can you just see it? Peter, the sun starts to rise. Peter's sitting in the boat and he's just frustrated. Not a single fish. I've experienced with this quite a bit. Unfortunately, there went a 5-year drought without catching a single fish. It was sad days. So I became the brunt of the jokes of my dad and my brother, who are actually here this morning with me. That's where most of the laughter is coming from, because they know it's true. But I can relate to Peter in this way. Could you imagine even for Peter even more so? Because I'm just throwing a little line out there and sitting down and just waiting for a fish to bite, or messing with the lure to see if I can trick him into biting it. Peter was having to throw a net. It was weighted and weighted again and again and again. And then you hear this guy ask, "Do you have any meat?" And that's just simply he's asking if they caught any fish. And can you see Peter roll his eyes? He's like, "All right, buddy. I've been here all night." No. You can almost hear the sarcasm kind of the no in the end of verse 5. When Jesus asked them to cast their net on the other side. Now, if I'm Peter, I'm like, all right, wise guy, I'm not doing that. I've already tried this all night. I promise you, I've touched every inch of the Sea of Galilee. There's no fish in this lake. Apparently, they just all disappeared last night. But maybe they remembered something that they were from a situation before. In Luke 5, they came back to this experience when Jesus called them out. And we're going to read, I'm going to start in verse 1 of verse 5, but we're going to focus on verses 4 and 7 just for this portion. And it says, "And it came to pass that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, and which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, and they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, and saying, Depart from me, for I am sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were there with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken." So maybe at that moment, you know, they started, maybe John poked him on the shoulder, like, hey, we did this before, remember? And he's like, yeah, but that was Jesus. I don't know who this guy is or who he thinks he is. It's like, John's like, just do it. Let's see what happens. I'm hungry. Or maybe they were just simply trying to prove a point. Peter's like, all right, if this guy's going to be such a wisecrack, I'm going to do it and I'll show him there's no fish and then we're not going to worry about it. But then they throw over the nets and then it's like, oh, wait, this is a little bit heavier than before. So a good night on a fishing trip for these fishermen would be a half ton of fish, 1,000 pounds. And they would do it about 7 to 8 times a night if you caught fish. Apparently, I'm guessing Peter and John and the other disciples that were there probably had to do it more than 7 to 8 times if they'd been going all night and caught nothing. But so it talks about the nets being full. So it's this 250, 300 pound net they're trying to pull. And they're like, oh, we got fish this time. And then John remembers me. John looks back and he goes, oh, you know what? Who did this the last time? It was Jesus. And he's like, Peter. That's Jesus over there. And Peter's like, what? Who's that? You're Jesus? He jumps. He says he girded his father's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. That word naked there just means he was stripped down to his working clothes. So they have, guys, we do this a lot. If we're working in the snow and we're starting to sweat, when I start to sweat, I don't know about the rest of y'all, I can sweat in -5 degrees weather. It's one of my curses. I don't know what I did. But I'm working, and then you start sweating. You take off your jacket, and you lay it to the side, and you just keep working, whether it's chopping wood, shoveling snow, digging a hole. No matter how cold it is outside, eventually you're going to need to take off a jacket. Well, that's probably what Peter is doing because he was throwing a heavy net all night and had caught nothing, so he has to keep throwing it and keep throwing it. Maybe took it off in frustration, threw it in the bottom of the boat, and kept throwing and kept throwing. Then once he saw it was Jesus, he grabbed his coat and just jumped into the water. He didn't care if his nice clothes were going to get dirty or not. Probably not nice clothes because he was fishing, but the cubic measurement here in verse 8 says he was probably, if we do the math, because the cubit was about 18 inches and then 200 of them, so it was a little over 100 yards to Jesus, to the shore. So they're launched out in that deep. They're coming, probably even most likely coming back to shore a little bit before Jesus had told them to cast the nets again. And so he's 100 yards out. And swimming 100 yards is a long ways. You don't realize it until you start swimming. But Peter makes it to shore, and Jesus already has some food there. Before Jesus, a priest addresses Peter's spiritual needs, he first took care of his physical by feeding him and giving him a place to dry off and get warm from jumping into the sea. Though our spiritual needs are always greater, a lot of times we can help a lot of people if we take care of their physical needs first, if at all possible. Now, I'm not talking about go buying him a new car, but sometimes some of the best conversations I've had and the most fruitful ability, having the ability to talk to somebody, is when we did it over food or just taking care of, you know, getting them something to drink and just talking. And this is what Jesus does here with Peter. And this should be a practice we try to follow, because when we take care of people's physical needs, we can pave the way for their spiritual. Jesus begins to restore Peter here. Peter had made some bold statements in Mark 14. I'm just going to read them here. It says, "And Jesus saith unto him," in verse 27, "All ye shall be offended of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen, I will go before you in Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. See, Peter thought he was the best. And it's not wrong to try and to be the best you possibly can. But Peter had done so to the point that he let pride in telling the Son of God that he was wrong. And again, we jump onto Peter. But how many times God's like called you to do something and you're like, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to do this. This is the better way to handle things. You want me to love them and show them grace. They need to hear judgment and wrath because they're in the wrong. You know, we've done that many a times. We've lost our temper because we think we know that this person needs a good tongue lashing. So many times we've missed opportunities to bless people because we've stepped outside of God's will and stepped outside of what God called us to do. Here in, when Jesus begins to restore Peter in verse 15, he doesn't call him by Peter. He calls him by Simon, son of Jonas. And that's his old name. So in Matthew 16, Jesus called Peter from being, which Peter was his surname, called that, and he was called, when Jesus called him, he addressed him thereon by Peter. He was originally addressed as Simon, son of Jonas, but Jesus called him from that name and gave him a new name, as in Peter. And we don't have time to get into this right now. Peter means small stone. Peter was going to be a pillar in the community of a pillar in the Christian church, not that it was built upon. That's Jesus Christ, and it'll always be Jesus Christ. And every other religion can say what they want to, and say that Peter was supposed to be the foundation of the truth, but he's not. It's Jesus Christ. And there's a small distinction there, but Jesus had called Peter out to be something more than what he was. He called him from being a fisherman to be a fisher of men. And Peter neglected that call, but Jesus wanted to bring Peter back to a point where he could be used of God and be used in a way that was back to what God had originally intended him to be that fisher of men that God had called him to be, that Jesus has called us all to be, if we look at Matthew 28. Now, in 15, it says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? There's a little bit of different ideas of who's Jesus talking about. Is he talking about the fish? Does Peter love Jesus more than he loves the disciples? Or does Peter love Jesus more than all the disciples? I tend to lean to the third one, to where Jesus is calling Peter out and saying, if you said that you're not going to deny me and love me no matter what, do you honestly love me than the rest of these disciples do? Jesus trying to get him to back to a point of humility, because at that point he's still probably thinking about how he had failed, how he came short of what God called him to do. He denied Christ. And he asked him, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Jesus is telling him, take care of the younger ones. Lead them and take care of their spiritual needs, those ones that are around you. The word here, and then he asked him again. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And this is a different word for feed here in verse 16 than it is from verse 17. The and as well, 15 and 17 is a different word than is used in 16. 16 is in our passage is used in Acts 20:28 when Paul is giving a farewell address to the church in Ephesus. In this farewell, he was also giving instructions to the leaders to make sure that the people's needs were met and that they were led away from false teaching. Jesus said, you need to make sure you're taking care of the spiritual needs of the little ones, but you also need to make sure you're leading the right way. You're leading in the way that doesn't lead your congregation to the people that will follow you into false doctrine. You got to lead them away from false doctrine. And then in verse 17, he asks him again, and Peter gets grieved at this moment. And I don't know, maybe Peter had to hear it three times to get through his thick head of what Jesus was trying to get him to understand, or maybe it just finally broke Peter. Whatever it was, it finally broke Peter, and to the point that he was grieved. He was very sorrowful to the not understanding how, he was understanding how he needed to serve Christ. See, Jesus asked him to feed his sheep once again. And he doesn't even call him, Peter here calls out and says, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. He finally, whether it admits or it clicks, or Peter just finally is like, Lord, you know everything. He came to a point where he's at his lowest. And after this, we don't have time to preach it, but Jesus talks to Peter about how the rest of his earthly ministry is going to go. It's going to be hard. It's going to be cause pain. It's going to be trials. It's going to be a struggle. But doesn't neglect that you need to follow me. But Peter here is sorrowful, and God just simply says, feed my sheep. Jesus is wanting Peter to understand humility. You need to be loving God by serving others. That's what Jesus has called Peter to do. There are times that we fail and come short for what God has for us and what he has told us to do. We could have been arrogant and thought we could do God's way better. And many Christians get lost in our Christianity. We start drifting and we don't realize it because we start editing God's plan. We think God's plan is a Word document that we can just like, I don't like this part right here. I'm going to delete this. We're going to go find a better source that I like better. I don't have to go serve in the ministry. I get to go be rich and go get whatever job I want. I don't have to listen to God's word about what drinking is wrong. That's the wrong interpretation. It's okay to socially drink, Christians will say, and think that it's all right for God's clearly declared no to be turned into a maybe. And that thought and that action is all rooted in pride, and that God has a lot to say in his word about pride, about what he expects from us and our hearts to be, and is very against whenever we are in pride. And in those moments, and I know it's true for myself, we usually fail miserably. And for some reason, we think it's going to work the next time, whenever we hit the next roadblock or the next hard time. We think, I did this. I failed. And we think, God help me. Forgive me. I need to see your help. And then we get back on the right track for a minute, and then we start seeing the split down the road. Am I going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what I want to do? And then we're like, I know it didn't work out last time, but maybe this time it'll work out a little bit better. We might not say that out loud. You're like, you're crazy, Brother Hunter. I would never think that. Well, our actions show differently. Our actions say we are sinful human beings that are very prideful human beings. And we tend to try to go our own way. God has called us all to something, whether it's to be a pastor or a missionary or a church planner or a youth pastor. Or God can call you to just work a steady job and tithe in your local church and be involved. It doesn't matter what God calls you to, but to follow God to what he has called you to. God has a plan for each and every one of us, and he doesn't make mistakes. He's called us out from something, and he's called us to humility. But there will be times that we fail. But the answer to this is not to quit and just to give up to what God has called us to and think, oh, I messed up this time. God told Peter, you know, I have a job for you still, but it has to be done my way. It has to be done in humility, and it has to be done through serving others. And that's what God has called us all to do. That's what the Great Commission is. It's to reach all nations and baptizing them and discipling them. God has called us to reach our neighbors and our neighborhoods and our cities and our states and our country, and then send missionaries to the places we can't go and tithe and give to Faith Promise missions. That's what obedience looks like. And that's the will of God for every believer. If you're wondering, man, God hasn't called me to, you know, be a missionary or a pastor, or maybe you know that, you know, I don't think God wants me to be those things, but what can I do now that can help? Or that what can I do that would accomplish what God has for my life? Well, it's simple. God talks about that we need to give him a tenth of all our income, that we need to attend church regularly. We need to make sure we're in his word and talking to him. If we want to hear from God, we have to have a relationship with God. It's not going to work. God's plan for your life isn't going to work if you never ask him what that plan is and then do not clearly seek it out and clearly want to talk to him about it. Even when we fail, we need to make sure we come back in humility and ask forgiveness and get back up and try to serve God once more. I don't know what you're struggling with this morning, whether you failed or not is not necessarily the question being asked. So maybe you have failed and you think, man, I can't do this anymore. I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm just stuck. Well, don't just give up. God didn't just say, oh, Peter's done. He went fishing this today. He didn't meet me in Galilee. That's it. I'm done with him. He can go fishing and do his thing. No, Jesus brought him, Peter, to a place of humility and restored him to a place of servitude that he would be able to use greatly and mightily. He was using the church in Jerusalem through the book of Acts. There was amazing things he was able to be a part of and able to be used for that wouldn't be there if Jesus had not restored Peter to a place that he wanted him to be. And the same is for us. God doesn't just put you on a shelf and just say, oh, I forget about him. I don't want to use him anymore because he did this. God still has a plan for you no matter what. God can forgive you and remind you of who he is. God's grace and love are not failing you. You're just not seeking God. There are consequences. There's never not grace. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He still wants to use us. And maybe it's not a big one. And maybe you think, Brother Hunter, I never fail. And maybe you're in Peter before he denied Christ 3 times. Well, can I encourage you to be careful of the pride that's there? Be careful that there's that self-righteous look and that arrogance that can lead you to failure very quickly. Because the Bible talks a lot about, and especially in Proverbs, about how pride cometh before a fall. You could also be avoiding something God's convicted you of, though. You might think, oh, everything's all right. I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, but maybe God has this plan over here and you're just kind of have your back to it, just ignoring it, think everything's fine out here, you know, and just enjoying life, but all the while in the back of your mind, you're like, man, I know God's called me to that. I know God has that plan for me. Maybe there's some bitterness you need to let go in your heart that shouldn't be there, whether it's a spouse or a child or a family member. Maybe even as a church member, whatever it is, God wants to restore a right relationship with him. And it starts in humility and getting back to his plan and not our own. Because this is where Peter messed up. He let pride in and left God's plan out and missed the mark that God had for him for his life. But God was not done with Peter, and he's not done with us. He called Peter back to servitude. And I encourage you this morning, let's get back to servitude. Make sure our lives are aligned with the Bible. You have a right relationship with God. My dad actually used to tell me this all the time as we were kids. As we were growing up and we were trying to do what's right, he said, keep a short account with the Lord. You're not going to be perfect, and you're going to fail a lot. But the important thing is that you get back up, start doing what's right, and ask God to forgive you. Keep that account short. So in those failures, though they're failures, they can be addressed. And then you don't get to a place where it's like, man, I failed all this much, and I don't know what to do. Keep it short. God, each every day, man, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted that way. That's the wrong heart to have. It's the wrong thought to have. Keep it short. Because God's grace is sufficient for you, and it always will be. If we truly love Jesus like we should, then we will do all that he asks of us. And then when we do what he asks of us, we'll be in the right spot with him. And because whenever the Bible talks about the perfect man or talking about a perfect heart, I've been studying Job a lot here lately. And Job was perfect in all that he did. But Job still had things he needed to get right. That perfect isn't that he did nothing wrong ever. It was that when he did, he got it right with God. And he tried to pattern his life after pleasing God. And that's how we need to be. And that might just be that first step in restoration of being, God, I've come short in these areas. Forgive me and help me get back on the right path.